Amen. That's a wonderful song, and I'm thankful that His grace is always sufficient for our every need. And there's never something we can't face, never something we'll face in this life that His grace is not sufficient. Sometimes we don't even know what kind of grace we need until we go through a problem. Ain't that right? And as soon as we go through it, the loss of a loved one or a sickness or whatever the case may be, and then all of a sudden you're like, man, how in the world are they making it? It's because they're experiencing that sufficient grace that you don't really even get to, you don't even know about until you're put in those situations. But when you are, you know it. You know His grace is sufficient. And I'm thankful that I've experienced that a little in my life, and I know several of you have as well. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And tonight is going to be the message tonight. We'll take a brief break, really, tonight and even next week. We'll take a break on our study on the home, a place called home. And tonight I really wanted to center the service primarily around the Lord's table. And for some, it may be the first time that you have ever observed this ordinance in a local church. And I want to try to explain what that is and what it means, and that way you understand what we're doing. And then also for us that have been kind of in church and this is old hat to us, I want you to not let it be old hat. I want it to be something that is a solemn reminder to each and every one of us of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And so 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 23 in your Bibles, very familiar passage of Scripture. Read it with me in verse number 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that just the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." That's a bad place to be. Verse number 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." You see that? If we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I just want to preach for a few moments on this thought, a solemn reminder. A solemn reminder. Our Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. And God, I thank you for this time that we can come as your local assembly and we can, Lord, observe this ordinance that you've given to us as your local church. We thank you for baptism. We thank you for the Lord's Supper, the two ordinances you've given to us to observe. And Lord, we try to do that on a regular basis. And God, we come tonight, Lord, not out of habit or routine, but God, we come wanting to remember the sacrifice that you paid for each and every one of us for the sins of the whole world on the cross of Calvary. We look towards that day, but also we want to remember when you rose from the grave and, Lord, how you ascended back into heaven, and then one day you're going to come back to get us. And God, may this be a constant reminder, but, Lord, I pray especially tonight we would remember what you've done for us, but also, Lord, help us to examine our lives. If there be anyone here that has, Lord, unconfessed sin in their life, Lord, I pray that they would examine themselves, they would judge themselves, so that, Lord, they'd be able to take of this ordinance tonight. Lord, I pray that you would please fill me with your spirit, with your power. I need your touch. Lord, I pray that the message would be a help and a blessing to your people tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord left two ordinances to the local New Testament church. He left baptism and the Lord's Supper. Tonight we are talking about the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper, and the word ordinance, it simply means this. It means a rule established by authority. And the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, it was first observed in the with Christ and his disciples in the upper room just prior to Christ's arrest and his crucifixion. It's a privilege to part in the Lord's Supper. It ought to be something that's very dear to the heart of each and every born-again believer. These verses that we just read in 1 Corinthians, they command us to take part in this Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ our Lord. Through them, there is a remembrance of the sacrifice of what he did on the cross of Calvary. It's something that we ought to remember constantly, not just once a year at Easter time whenever we celebrate him rising from the dead, but we ought to remember, as I preached a little bit this morning, about the sacrifice, and may we never take for granted what Jesus Christ did on the cross for each and every one of us. He willingly took our place on that cross. He died in our place. We deserve to be on that cross, but he took our place. And may we never take that for granted. I want to give you just several truths from this text this evening. Notice, first of all, the significance of the observance. The significance of the observance. In verse number 23, again, the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, The cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." In this text, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth, and he is telling them of the significance of this sacred time. It's not an occasion that we should be entered into lightly. It's not something that we ought to just haphazardly observe. And there's some churches that do this by routine, and they kind of schedule it out and they just do it. But to be honest with you, the Lord never gave us any clear direction on when we should observe or how often we should observe. He said, "Just as oft as ye do, as oft as ye would." And so, this time, the Lord has led me as your pastor for us to observe the Lord's Supper. And it's something that when we come into this service, it's something we ought to take in very reverently, because we're dealing with a reminder, the significance of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. It's a time for consideration. It's a time for consideration of what the Lord did for each and every one of us. We should ever be mindful of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. We must realize that we were the ones who were guilty. The innocent bore the condemnation of the guilty. He paid the debt that we owed. I owed a debt that I could not pay. And he paid the debt that he did not owe. This was not an easy death. This was a cruel death. And this was a death where he was despised. He was rejected. He was mocked, and he was beaten, and he was spit upon, and they plucked his beard out of his face, and they nailed his hands and his feet into that cross, and he hung on Golgotha's hill, struggling for each breath that he were to take. On that cross, he no doubt looked into the past, and he looked into the present, and he looked into the future of those that he was dying on that cross for, and that he seen your face, and he saw my face, that he was willingly giving his life for my sins. And he died on the cross because he loved each and every one of us. Go with me to Isaiah chapter number 53, if you would. Isaiah chapter number 53, this prophecy here in the book of Isaiah best describes what our Lord went through for each and every one of us. In Isaiah chapter number 53 and in verse number 3, the Bible says this: "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Each time we observe the Lord's Supper, I pray that we at First Baptist Church get a fresh glimpse of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. As a result of his sacrifice, we can obtain forgiveness for our sins. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. And some, it becomes just routine. You've done this for years. You've been a part of it for years. But may we never take for granted the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary. It's a time to consider Christ, but it's also a time to consider his resurrection. We've been reminded, obviously, of his death on the cross, but if he would have died on the cross and stayed on the cross, he would have been just as any other man. Other men have died on a cross, but what makes Jesus different than any other man is that he was put in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from that tomb victorious, conquering both death, hell, and the grave. If he would not have risen from that grave, friend, our faith would have been in vain. We wouldn't have any reason to observe this ordinance because there would be nothing special about the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact that he went to the cross of Calvary, he went through those awful beatings for us, he hung on that cross, he died on that cross, he was placed in that tomb, and 3 days later he rose victorious, that's a reason to rejoice. You see, because he's not like any other little G-O-D God where you can go to their grave and you can see their bones, if you will, if you were to dig them up and exhume them up. No, no, no. You go to the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an empty tomb tonight. I've not been there. I'd love to go someday, but it's empty. I've heard other reports that it's empty. It's an empty tomb. And I'm thankful for that. This time that we come to the Lord's table, yes, it's a time to consider the sacrifice, but it's also a time to consider the resurrection that Jesus is alive. We have reason to rejoice. It's a time for consideration, but it's also a time for anticipation. And notice the text there again in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. In verse number 26, the Bible says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death." Notice the next three words, "till he come." We are people tonight that have hope because Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. We know that Jesus ascended back into heaven and he's now seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. But I'm thankful that he's not going to stay there. One day, he's going to get the word from God the Father to go get his children. And we're going to hear the trumpet sound. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's called the rapture, the second coming of Christ, whenever he's coming to get his children. What a day, a glorious day that'll be. Listen, I'm looking to go that way, not necessarily visiting Brother Randy and his peoples, okay? I want to go of the rapture. Don't you? Man, we're living in the best age. We're closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ than we were last week. And we're closer. Listen, I've heard this preaching my entire life. And preachers that I've heard preach it, they have went the way of the grave. But I'm closer now and you're closer now. And we could be the generation that gets to see the Lord Jesus Christ descend from the clouds. Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, I feel like that's like the elite group. I mean, the ones, the elite. We get to go just as Enoch went. Just walk with the Lord. Amen. Wouldn't that be something? That'd be amazing. It's going to happen just like that. The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, it's going to be just, we're going to live our lives as if normal. That's why it's important to always be ready. We don't know when he's coming. We know that the world's going to continue to wax worse and worse, and he gives a description of what it's going to be like in the last days. And friend, I believe we're living in those last days. Those days where we're just nigh of the Lord's return. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Friend, the child of God has much to look forward to because one day we'll be called out of this life of sin and sorrow. We'll spend eternity with the Lord. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, he could return today. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I love the next verse, comfort one another with these words. That's comforting tonight, isn't it? That one day we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. What a grand reunion. I mean, it's going to be, we're going to be here and then gone. Just like quicker than that. Boy, why in the world would somebody not want to live their life ready for that? We get so focused on the here and now, don't we? Get so focused on life and just making money and raising a family, and all that's necessary, I get it. But man, we ought to look and say, realize that today could be the day. I mean, you've seen some of those sunrises, some of those sunsets, some of those clouds in the sky, and say, man, that's one he can step out on. Right? Why in the world would we not want to live our lives, wake up tomorrow and realize, man, just in case he comes at noon, Lord, I want to be right with you. Boy, in case I hear that trumpet sound, listen, it's not the first Tuesday of the month and you're hearing the sirens. It's like actually the trumpet sounding. That's how it's going to be. And then all of a sudden, man, we're going to be out of here. And can you imagine the chaos after that? Mass chaos. Mass chaos. Listen, this is a time of anticipation. When we come to the Lord's table, to remember, yes, the sacrifice, and I'm thankful that he died on the cross, he was buried and rose again. I'm looking for that blessed hope. It's the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see the significance of the observance. But number two, notice with me the sanctity of the observance. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 27, the Bible says this, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, you see the cause? For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I don't mean they're dozing off. It means they're dead. Okay? So it's serious business here. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In these closing verses of this passage, Paul addresses the need for personal purity and sanctity if one expects to participate in the Lord's Supper. It's just an observance. There's some false religions that believe that this is truly the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't believe that as independent fundamental Baptists, as Bible believers. You can't find that in the Bible. This is nothing more than symbolism. This is a picture, if you will. The bread is a picture of the body of Christ, but it is not the literal body of Christ. The juice that we'll drink, it's Welch's grape juice. It's not the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not wine, fermented wine, as the Catholics like to drink. It's not that either. It's juice. It's symbolism of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some believe that. They believe that literally as we uncover these cloths, that this turns into the blood, and that's called transubstantiation. And that's a false teaching from that you won't find in the Word of God. And so the sanctity of this observance, what's the purpose of it then? Why even do it? I mean, it kind of seems like it's a little outdated. What's the purpose of it? Well, first of all, it's a time of examination. It's a time of examination. You bring to this table a time of your life. You see the text that Paul says in verse number 27. He said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, the key word there is unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. It's a time of examination. These verses deal with the condition of those of us who partake in the Lord's Supper. The church at Corinth had many who were there, and their attendants who were weak, who were sick, And some that had even died because they took of this ordinance unworthily. What does that mean? It means they had unconfessed sin in their life. They refused to get right with God or with someone. Thus they took of the ordinance unworthily, and God always judges sin. He always judges sin. And God's a holy God. He even says to be ye holy, for I am holy. We must remember that God has not changed. He still expects His children to live holy, separated lives unto Him. We seem to live in a day where many turn a deaf ear to sin. They just turn a deaf ear to it. It's so abundant that we tend to ignore sometimes the significance, the sanctity of an ordinance like this, and we could haphazardly take something unworthily, and God takes that very seriously. And so it's a time of examination. We're remembering, yes, what He did on the cross for us, but because of what He did on the cross, there's forgiveness offered for our sins. It's not God's will for any child of God to live in a constant grievance with their Heavenly Father or with one another. It's God's will that we confess that sin. What's the Bible say? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at verse number 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So don't say that we're not sinning because we're calling God a liar. He says, I know who you are. I created you. And then in chapter 2, verse number 1, my little children, these things write under you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation, that means sacrifice, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Listen, the sin that you may have in your life tonight, Jesus has already paid for that sin on the cross of Calvary. You need to confess it and forsake it for what it is, as sin. It's not God's will for you to live in that constant grievance between Him or with someone. You need to confess that sin to God. You need to get right with Him. And then if you need to get right with someone, you need to get that right. You see, it's a time of examination. We must search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in me. But it's also a time of rededication. Look at the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Friend, we have the opportunity to deal with our sin and commit ourselves to God. It's always far better if we'll deal with our sin rather than God have to deal with our sin. Let me say that again. It's always far better if we'll deal with our sin before God has to. We can enjoy fellowship with Christ once we are rededicated to Him. David said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Listen, if the Lord has revealed something in your life tonight that shouldn't be there, I challenge you as your pastor to get that right before you take of the Lord's Supper. You don't take of this unworthily. It's a very serious matter. The Church of Corinth was just like the Church of Clinton. Many sick and weak among you, many sleep. Could it be? Because they took of it unworthily. Listen, if God would do that to the Church of Corinth, surely He'd do it to the Church of Clinton. We better examine ourselves. It's a time for rededication. So we see the significance of the ordinance. We see the sanctity of the ordinance. But notice lastly tonight, the simplicity of the ordinance. Two things, the simplicity of the ordinance. Where one, we're supposed to receive the elements. Here in just a moment, the deacons and Pastor Cameron, they're going to come and they're going to distribute the sacraments. They're going to distribute the elements here. And some may say, well, I don't want to get right with God, or I don't want to get right with that brother or sister in Christ, so I'll let the elements pass me by. That's not God's plan. It's not God's will. That's living in disobedience to your heavenly Father. You say, well, I don't want to take it unworthily. That's where he wants you to have that time of examination and rededication where you get right with him and right with one another so you can take and be thankful for the sacrifice that he made for you. So we are to receive the elements when they're passing you by. And you don't say no to the fellows. No, you take of the elements. Why? Because you're clean before your heavenly Father. So you receive the elements, but number two, you remember the sacrifice. We'll take the elements, we'll eat the bread, we'll drink the juice, and we'll try to do as he did with his disciples in that upper room. We'll give thanks for what he did on the cross of Calvary. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. Remember the sacrifice. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper is such a special occasion for the child of God. It's a privilege to worship in thanksgiving and remembrance to him for his sacrifice for us. Apart from Christ, we would still be dead in our sin without hope. Tonight, before we take of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, I want to give you a final opportunity, if you will, to be completely right with God. You know, this is one of those times that we just examine our life. The ladies are going to play here in just a moment. And it's just good for us to, all of us, individually, examine our life. Let me say this about the Lord's Supper. It's for born-again children of God. It's not for the lost. If your children have not been born again yet, if they've not been saved, this is a good opportunity to teach them afterward about why they don't take of the Lord's Supper yet. It's not because God doesn't love them, but one day they'll receive Jesus as their Savior, Lord willing, and they'll be able to take of it. And so don't just let your children take it just because you don't know how to explain it to them. No. Take the opportunity to explain it to them. You do your child well. It's for children of God. But more importantly than it's for children of God, it's for right children of God. Clean before the head of their heavenly Father. There's nothing between me and thee. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. And so we're going to have just a moment of invitation that I'm going to ask each and every person to examine their life. See if there's anything between you and the Lord. Anything between someone else. And we'll take as long as necessary to make sure that we're right. And then we'll have our time at the Lord's table. With every head bowed, every eye closed.